Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Touchline Podcast. I'm Rich.
And I'm Brett.
And you are lucky enough to be with us for episode number 14, or the Justin Glad episode, since he is number 14 for RSL, of the Touchline Podcast. I don't know what we're going to do once we start getting to numbers that don't have player names. Maybe we'll have to go find international players or something.
You know, we're going to eventually have to, like, hit the Jason Christ episode, aren't we?
Well,
or have we passed that one?
We passed that. He was number 9.
Yeah. Well, that was before we started naming the episode, so.
Yeah, I wasn't on the pod back then, so I'm not responsible. I can't take any credit or blame for that. But yeah, so this one's the Justin Glad episode. I guess maybe we should start also, we should go back in time and find out all the other players who have worn that number. We should start doing that. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Go back in time. Yeah, so the next episode 15, that'd be the Sabo episode next time. Find out who else has worn 15 for RSL. That'd be cool. Anyway.
I've assumed Sabo for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So tonight, or today, whenever you're listening to it, we're going to talk a little bit about our games against San Jose and Sporting Kansas City, since we were unable to get together last week, so we didn't talk about San Jose. We'll look a little bit ahead to the Whitecaps, who we play on Saturday at home, and maybe we'll touch a little bit on the national game that just happened to finish since we're recording this on Wednesday night and talk about the awesome 2-0 scoreline. So let's kind of recap the last two games. We played San Jose, then we played Sporting Kansas City. We beat San Jose 1-0. Then we had the 0-0 draw against Sporting. What was your takeaway from San Jose first, I guess?
I think the biggest takeaway, and it's like the huge pat on the back for RSL during that game, is they held Wondolowski pretty much out of that entire game. Nobody, you know, late in that game, you're used to Wando showing up and starting to give you grief, and as the game went on and on, you were waiting for it. But as soon as the game ended, you realized Wando, they kept him grounded. They couldn't let him do anything, and that's a huge feather in this team's hat.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought they did a great job on Wando. I don't understand, you know, watching a little bit of the San Jose games this season, who they seem to be putting Wando more in a midfielder role or withdrawn role, and it gives him way less opportunities to be that kind of fox-in-the-box guy where he just pops up out of nowhere and scores. And I don't know why they've chosen that formation with just the one striker and then, you know, the midfielders behind him. But it certainly isn't doing Wando any service there.
Yeah, and with that new stadium, you got to get Wando going because people are coming to see Wando. And you want to start selling out that stadium. So, but, I mean, other than that, I think you saw a lot of positives come from RSL that game. That you can tell it's a team that's growing, it's maturing, and it's great to see that this early on in the season.
Yeah, I thought that was the first game where the offense really started to actually do some stuff. You know, and the midfielders, you know, were passing it to each other. You know, not for the whole game, but for stretches, you could start seeing things happening. You know, the players commented after the game that you know, they had fun that game. You know, they started to figure it out.
Yeah, and I was listening to On Frame, and they were talking about how after the game inside the locker room, like, as you're watching it, it's that physical style that RSL loves to play, and if you're watching it and not understanding how RSL wants to play, you're watching it and thinking these guys are thugs or RSL's getting the crap kicked out of them or something like that, but after the game, I guess the team was walking around talking about, this is the game we like to play. This is how much we love this game. And that's the style they wanted to play, and that's how they wanted to play it. And, you know, offensively, maybe they didn't get as many goals as you'd like, but they still got the win. And it another clean sheet.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the game. You know, Javi had that sick, you know, volley goal off the free kick rebound. I thought it was it just me, or were you surprised? So, you know, when Luke got that big nod on his head, right?
Yeah.
That how quickly Innocent, you know, the player for San Jose, how he rushed the ref and then all the San Jose players rushed the ref. That was just amazing. Like, I didn't understand how, one, they didn't think it was a foul, and if they didn't, that's fine, but how they were so, like, aggrieved by the decision.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I mean, if you look at Luke, you can tell he was taken out, but I think that's part of soccer anymore is guy gets whistles blown and all of a sudden you always see the opposing team just jump all over the ref. And even RSL does it. I mean, you don't want to see it, but yeah, that was actually a time when it stood out. It was pretty, I don't even think he had the whistle out of his mouth and the entire team was around him.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't have a problem, you know, sometimes, you know, when you disagree with the ref and you want to talk with him, or if he totally blows a call, right? You know, you see some players get around us. You know, it always seems to happen whenever a penalty is called, right? Whichever
yep.
team disagrees, you know, goes and surrounds the ref. But, I mean, in this case, it seemed like such kind of a random event for them to just get their, you know, blow their gasket over when mm-hmm. – it didn't seem like it was that questionable of a call. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, that call was actually the difference between a win and a tie because
yeah,
that was it resulted in the only goal scoring opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we scored. You know, Innocent ended up getting suspended retroactively by the disciplinary committee a game for that challenge. But I just thought it was crazy how just ballistic everybody went.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So if, you know, the San Jose game, the team started to kind of figure it out, I think we kind of took a step back a little bit in Kansas City. Now, we'll caveat that with Kansas City, when you play there, it's a tough place to play. I would say a lot harder place to play than San Jose. And Kansas City's style with their high press, that doesn't, you know, we're still trying to figure out where everybody's supposed to be. It doesn't, that gives you a lot less time on the ball to even, you know, pick up your head and try and figure out where they are. So I felt like we really struggled.
Yeah. Yeah. And you also saw the debut of Elias Vasquez playing in that center back role with Schuler not even making the flight. And you could tell for the first about 15 minutes, he had no clue where to be. But after about the first 15 minutes, once he settled down and started playing, he played awesome. Him and Olave had their hands full with Dom Dwyer all game long. And, you know, Dom's an amazing player, and I was surprised that he didn't get more than that one goal that got called back because he was all over that field just ruining our defense.
Yeah, Dom's, on the one hand, he's impressive because he's pretty speedy, and he's, like, deceptively strong. Like, there were a bunch of challenges and stuff that he held the defenders off of, or, you know, winning the aerial battles or, you know, whatever. He stayed strong and kept the ball. But then on the other hand, he fell down so many times. I mean, that's really frustrating as, you know, a spectator.
Yeah, you don't want to see a guy do that. But, you know, major props to our team. The only time he really actually found the back of the net, he screwed up by going offside. So,
yeah,
it's good on him. I mean, good on the defense for holding them. I mean, it's kind of nice to know that after Schuler, you got a 22-year-old who's made, I believe, 26, 27 appearances for the Guatemalan national team. So it's not a guy who's new to soccer or doesn't understand it. It's a guy who's been around and played a few big games in his time.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll have to see. This was just one game, but I mean, I was definitely impressed with him. We'll have to see like what his ball skills are like and you know how he does with consistency. Not that I don't know if he'll get consistent games, but you know, Salcedo, who he's kind of replacing, you know, he would have games where he would do really, really well, and then depending on who the forward was he was up against, you know, it seemed like, you know, Robbie Keane, for example, would school him and you know, then he would come back and do okay, and then maybe not have a good game the next game. So, you know, I'm sure we'll see those kind of ups and downs with him, but I think where he has more experience than Salcedo did, hopefully he'll be a little bit more consistent.
And what do you think of Abdoulie Mansali? I mean, they kind of brought in Damar Phillips. He kind of had the feeling he the starter and Mansali would be backing him up. But Mansali, especially in that Kansas City game, he's shown a lot of physical play, a lot of heart, and like making a run that he deserves that position.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Mansali has grown a lot since he has come to RSL. Before, I mean, you were always kind of nervous about what he was going to do. And I think we still feel that a little bit. I don't know if it's more kind of a reputation thing than what is actually happening. But I've thought for the most part this season, he's been really solid and you know, he gets up in the attack and he has good recovery speed and he's been, you know, a decent defender. So I think where we've only seen Phillips for what, 60 minutes maybe?
Yeah, I believe he's only played the one game.
Yeah, and he had to come out again. So, you know, I don't want to say that, you know, for sure Mansali should start over Phillips, but you know, I definitely think that it's making Kassar's job more difficult by, you know, Mansali playing so well. So maybe we'll go back to what year was that? 2010, maybe, when we had Wingert, Russell, and Beltran, and they would pretty much, you know, alternate games. Two of them would play, you know, one would sit almost every game, it would seem like. So you know, it'll be interesting to see if we start doing that. Maybe give Tony a break every now and again and have Mansali in Phillips, and that would be a lot of speed on the outside, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I think what we're finally seeing with Mansali also is he, when he was playing for New England, they'd use him more as like a forward midfielder type player. But when he came to RSL, when he was released and RSL officially signed him and everything, they instantly decided to convert him into a defender, and especially on that wing because of his speed. And you're now seeing the growth of the player. He's understanding his position and he's understanding what he needs to be doing to as that outside player. And I mean, the step from last year to this year has been huge for him. And I guess it's one of those nice problems to have.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's taken probably a little longer than we would have liked to kind of, you know, erase some of the forward habits, you know, him playing forward for New England. But you know, I think he's definitely turning into an outside back that's serviceable and that we can use him. And I'm sure we'll see him a lot this season in that position.
Yeah, and you're also seeing him play a lot more physical. I mean, he's only played in half as many games this year as he did all of last year, and he's already earned more yellow cards and committed more fouls. So I think you can see that physicality coming on. I
Yeah.
think he needs to also kind of learn how to tone back the physicality just a bit, just so he doesn't get in trouble with those yellow cards.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, his tackling form or whatever you want to call it is definitely, you know, going hard and make sure you get him. So he's not shy about, you know, sliding in on people. So, you know, if he keeps that under control, you know, he'll be all right.
Yeah, and between him and Olave, I'd hate to be a guy, you know, running down his side or even going through the middle, because you're just going to get beat up.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I thought all the defenders in that Kansas City game, I thought the whole team in general, they played really, really well against Kansas City. You know, there were sometimes when the forwards especially Garcia and Gil didn't track back like they needed to. But I think as the game wore on, they started to kind of figure out those overlapping runs. But, you know, for RSL to have such a struggle passing the ball to each other, and for Kansas City to have the ball as much as they did, and then to not be able to do anything with it, really. I mean, that was
a
great job. And it didn't seem like, I mean, in the Portland game, you know, the first game of the season, it felt like there was lots of emergency defending, right? People sliding in to block the pass or balls being cleared off the line. And it didn't seem like that in this game. We just kept them in front of us and, you know, cleared the ball.
Yep. And it wasn't, even though we didn't, you know, the offense didn't get clicking and everything like that, you can still see, especially in the defense and the midfield, that this team is committed a lot more to the defensive side of the ball. And I think that has to result back to where we were playing in the playoffs last year and went into LA and just got completely throttled. I think this team is now committed that you will not score on us.
Yeah, and I hope we can, you know, keep up the defensive streak that we have. I mean, if you could imagine that, if we didn't have that Philly game that had all that crazy flukiness, you know, we would only have, what?
One goal scored against us.
Yeah. So.
And even then, if you want to think about it, we've only really been scored on 3 times, because in the Philly game, one of them was an own goal.
Yeah, Olave scored, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, our defense is doing really well. We just got to, you know, keep that focus, because it's easy just to shut off for a second, and then next thing you know, you're hemorrhaging goals, so.
Yep.
Did you have any other thoughts on KC? I mean, a 0-0 draw, I mean, that's a good result on the road. It's in the division, so you're keeping them from getting 2 points.
Yeah, not only that, going into Kansas City is tough anymore. I mean, Kansas City is, we don't have great track record there. And so to be able to go in there and just get a point is pretty much a win for us.
Yeah, and they haven't been playing the best, so I was hoping we could do better, and Zusi was out. But, you know, then based on how we played, I mean, I thought a draw was good.
Yeah, looked good to me. I mean, win would have been nice, but I was very happy with the draw.
Yeah. Feel really bad for Aiko Parra. You know, he ruptured his Achilles, so he's out. That dude, he can leap out of the gym, that's for darn sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad he didn't score before he got hurt, but, you know, that's just sad, you know, have someone get injured that way, especially if it's not, you know, Colin or somebody like that. I mean, that would have been okay, but, you know, I felt bad for Opara.
Yeah, and hopefully we can, you'll see him back by the end of the season, but my guess is it's doubtful you won't see him.
Yeah, I bet you won't see him until next year. So that's a loss for KC. We'll have to see how their defense does, because, I mean, you know, he was a big athlete, and, you know, we'll have to see how all of Beasler's garbage throws turn out now that he doesn't have that other target to throw it to.
Yep.
So, well, if we're done with Kansas City, unless you have something else.
The only thing I kind of wanted to talk about, and it's not more Kansas City, but more the entire, you know, first 5 games of the season, is we have scored 6 goals so far this year. And out of those 6 goals, only 2 have come from run of play. Do you think the offense has issues?
Yes. I think. I need to elaborate on that thought. How about, I think that we're still trying to figure out how to play with wingers. I think that Sabo isn't getting the ball where he needs it, or as much service as he needs it. It was interesting, I guess, kind of a comment on the KC game is, so our forwards that game was, we had Gil and then Sabo and Garcia. And when Gil had come in a couple of other games, kind of in a substitute role, or I guess one game they just moved him up front because he was already in the game, but the other game he came in as a sub up to that winger spot. And I thought he did pretty well up there, you know, and created different opportunities and was kind of dangerous. But I thought in the Sporting Kansas City game, he was just he disappeared for large swaths of that game. And then, you know, Jordan Allen came in and, you know, had a little bit of an impact. But I don't know. I just feel like we're trying, like when we have the ball and we have possession, I feel like sometimes the offense is trying to operate down one side of the field like we used to in the diamond, right? But we have three forwards that are more spread out across, and then you only have three midfielders, and so they are trying to leave themselves not so exposed. So it's like you're missing a player in that zone that you normally had to pass it to.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's – maybe I'm totally misreading what's going on, but – it kind of feels like we haven't figured out where to pass the ball to when we have possession and we're just passing it around.
Yeah. No, I think what I saw a lot of from Gil, and if you give a shit, I will defend Gil until the very end. I'm a huge Gil fan. But what I've noticed about Gil is I think I'm wondering how much he actually got bent playing up top in practices and stuff like that going into that game, because track a lot and he a lot inside the midfield. So I'm wondering if he was more or less, as soon as he hit the field, natural ability just took over and it's, I got to play the midfield. This is where I'm always playing. And it was so uncomfortable for him that that's why he kept being out of position and not being able to help out that way.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, there are a lot of teams that play kind of the three strikers up top, but one of them isn't really a striker. I mean, that's what Kansas City does. Zusi, I wouldn't call him a striker, or really even a winger necessarily. I mean, he's not Neymar or something, you know, that you just expect to fly around. He's more of a hobby type that's just playing over on that side. And so, I mean, I think there's tons of opportunities for Gil to play in that spot and still play to his advantage or his skill set. But I'm just not sure he's figured out how to do that consistently yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the offense is okay for right now. And I think here in... I believe it is May, the offense is about to fix itself really quick, because you will have Plata return, and Plata is that midfielder who plays up top, and he'll be able to do that, and you'll be able to allow Plata and to play up top with Jaime and Sabo and probably see a lot of impressive things.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. So today, Chris Camerani, you know, had an article in the Tribune talking about Plata and, you know, where he's at. And it sounds like he's still, I don't know, 7-ish weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
Seven or eight weeks out. But I guess my question is, do you think out of all the strikers, so if you could take any of our strikers, so say our primary strikers are Plata, Sabo, Jaime, right? If which one of those three do you think is most important to our offensive success? I mean, if you had two of the three and you replaced the other one with just somebody else, I mean, do you think Plata is the key? Because when Plata comes back, Sabo's going to be gone with the Gold Cup. So,
I would say Plata would be, and that's only because last year he was responsible for 19 goals, scoring 13 of his own and getting the 6 assists. And the start that Javier has come to, the entire reason they swapped to this 4-3-3 was to get Javi involved in the offense and to get Plata more involved in the offense. And since the entire formation has changed to suit those two guys, Plata is going to be the one that's more... the more important of the three, I guess, is the way to put it. I mean, all three are important, but Plot is the one that I think you can set him up with any three strikes in this league, and he's going to be able to do something with it.
Yeah, and I would almost kind of argue, I mean, if you have a big target man as your the middle of the three strikers in a 4-3-3, I mean, that's cool, but I mean, it's not real necessary. And there are there are lots of examples of teams that don't have a big striker. And, you know, say we slot Sandoval in there instead of Sabo. I mean, he's not Sabo, but he can replicate some of that skill set. And I think we're all just excited to see Plata do what he did last year, but mm-hmm. with another strike, you know, an extra striker up there with him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, reading through Chris's article, something that kind of stood out to me is I hope he's back by late May, but I'm wondering if they'll actually hold him out even longer just because he threw in that part where the head athletic trainer, Tyson Pace, was talking about Kevin Durant and how his re-injured foot kept bothering him all season long, and wondering if the team would rather keep holding him out just to make sure he's 100% healthy. And I mean, Plata is going to be that important for us moving forward. They've made him a designated player. They've know the potential of Plata.
Yeah, I mean, they had experience with this last year with Sabo, and I don't know if the fracture was the exact – I mean, it was the same bone, but I don't know if the fracture was the exact same. Do you know what I mean? But I'm sure they can take some, you know, experiences from that and, you know, apply that to Plata. You know, to see if, I mean, if Sabo had any sort of lingering pain or, you know, if he wished they had handled it differently, I'm sure he'll give them that feedback too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but as of right now, I wouldn't be worried about the offense. I'm kind of hoping Jaime lives up to the nickname I gave him back in the day when he first signed with us, when I called him the hired gun, because I figured the team was looking for that third striker that could just rotate through and there'd be no drop off. So I was hoping he was the hired gun. I hope he lives up to it.
Yeah.
So,
but I don't know. I mean, I've liked Jaime's play so far. I don't, he hasn't scored yet, but I think he'll be fine. As I'm not sure if he'll play this weekend or not with the leg fracture that he had, mm-hmm. but they, you know, it sounds like he's getting close, which is pretty amazing. So, you know, I think he'll click.
Yeah, if you look at stats and just look at it that way, Jaime looks like a disappointment. But if you watch him on the field, he's impressive. I mean, the way he reacts away from the ball and with the ball is. He's a fun team to watch. He's a fun player on this team to watch.
Yeah, I think, you know, we just need to, you know, if we can be patient and if we can ride this through and stay, you know, keep our undefeated streak alive here, right? Keep getting points as we can. Hopefully more wins than draws, or at least wins at home. You know, I think the offense will eventually figure it out if we can just kind of scrape some goals by, you know, however we can.
Yep. We're one of, there's only one other team undefeated other than us, and that's New York, and they get San Jose this week.
Hmm. So, is that here? Is that at San Jose or at New York?
Let me see real fast. That will be in New York.
Is it? I was gonna say, I think it's in New York. So, well, go Red Bulls, I suppose.
And then after that, they get LA, and then on a short week, get Colorado, and then New England. So,
yeah,
they're about to get tested.
A couple Western teams all in a row.
Yep.
Well, real quick, let's talk. I guess, should we talk the USA game real fast so that'll lead into the Vancouver game, or do you want to talk Vancouver first?
We can talk US game.
All right. So hopefully everyone's watched it. Spoiler alert. If you didn't watch it, we're going to talk about it. USA won 2-0 again. Word up.
Do not come onto our soil.
Yes. Do not come onto our soil. You will lose 2-0. So seemed like the crowd was pretty pro Mexico down there, which you would kind of expect in Texas. Mm-hmm. But I mean, for the pitch just being awful. Oh my gosh. That was so awful. I mean, that looked worse than most of the CONCACAF qualifying pitches that you would see, as they would go around to, like, you know, Nicaragua or something.
Yeah, you know what? I have this huge issue with us going to, like, the Alamo and stuff like that and playing, because we have all, like, one of the huge major requirements to join the MLS is you have to come up with a soccer-specific stadium. And I know there's some teams that have kind of gotten around that rule, but all these soccer-specific stadiums, and we still go to a place like Alamo Dome and try to lay down grass and get these guys to play.
Well, my problem with go ahead.
And then you get guys that are getting hurt.
Right. Well, my problem with it isn't, I don't have that much of a problem. I mean, if they want to go, you know, play in some of these big stadiums. I mean, if we were going to host a big game, you know, and they wanted more than 20,000 people, you know, they can't play in Rio Tinto.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they're going to do it, they need to lay the field down more than like a day before. I mean, you gotta, if you have to lay grass, do it, you know, you need to reserve that facility so you can give that time to not be utter crap.
Yeah. You know, I don't have a problem if they wanted to go to like Invesco Field or something like that, a place that, you know, is grass, or it's grass 100% of the year because NFL teams are playing on it or something like that. But to go into a place, I mean, I don't even know what the Alamo Dome is used for, honestly.
I don't know.
We're going to look up Wikipedia now.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to find out what...
I mean, all it is a multi-purpose facility used for football, basketball, baseball, and convention centers. I mean, it's not even something special. George Strait performed there. Just found that out.
I guess the Spurs used to play there.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you want to use, like, a football field, I don't have issues with that. But the fact that we have, right now, Vancouver, Seattle, Orlando, New England, D.C., and New York play in stadiums so that weren't built to be soccer-specific. So the rest of the league's got soccer-specific stadiums, and we're not using them for games. And then you turn around and get situations like we were dealing with tonight when Beckerman hurt his knee, even though they say it's a thigh contusion, but ice on the knee, dude.
Yeah. It's just a whole money grab, you know, for U.S. soccer and the Mexican Federation, but mm-hmm. You gotta have a pitch that is not, I don't know. I mean, as they would pass the ball and you'd see that thing bouncing up and down, you know, it wasn't smooth whatsoever. And if you would have taken a drink every time somebody slipped as they tried to plant, you would have been dead because, you know, it was just stupid.
And Juan Aguadilla got his goal.
Yeah, Aguadilla got a goal. The college kid, Jordan Morris, got a goal. That was amazing.
Yeah, but in Juan's goal, all he did was he went to dribble to the inside of the field and Mexico defender slips on the grass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wide open. Just take a shot.
I kind of felt like as I was watching that game that something like that was going to happen. Either a defender would slip and like cause a penalty, or, you know, somebody would slip and cause a breakaway. And I mean, that's how Aguadilla scored. So,
yeah.
Although the goalie, he could have done better.
Yeah. Yeah. But after seeing Morris play and after seeing Juan play, I mean, I don't know about you, but Zidardi's, he didn't impress me tonight. If you were starting tomorrow with a team to play in the World Cup or the Gold Cup, and you have Josie, which one of those two do you pair up with him?
Between Agudelo and Morris?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because I saw a lot of impressive things out of Morris, even though Juan's a more experienced guy.
I still wouldn't. I mean, out of all of the forward choices in the U.S., I wouldn't pick either of them. I think Morris, he seems kind of speedy, but I mean, I also saw him make a lot of mistakes, and a lot of his play was just running hard. And then Agudelo, I don't know. He's got a lot of fancy tricks and stuff, but he's got to do more to convince me. I thought Zardes as being like the target guy filling in for Josie, I thought he did okay. That's not his normal position. It's kind of like when they used to put Eddie Johnson, you know, in that position. And, you know, it was kind of, for me, it was respectable considering, you know, what he was trying, you know, asked to do. I like Zardes's game. He still needs to grow a lot too. I'm trying to think of who in the pool I would actually want to pair him with. Josie with, I mean. Yeah. Out of like everybody. I mean, would you put
Wando?
Yeah, I was gonna say Wando. Jordan Allen, how about him?
Yeah, let's throw Allen in there. Kid needs some time.
Yeah. Who else is
can't do Landon. I mean, I guess the natural selection is throw him up there with Dempsey.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
I mean, that's the natural pick, but so I don't know if
that Dempsey's not available, or it's, you know, he gets too old. Let's say this is Qatar.
Okay.
Instead of Russia for the World Cup. Dempsey, I'm sure, he should be too old by then, I would guess.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there'll be somebody in 8 years or 8 years, 7 years that we don't know about, but maybe by then Agudelo will be the person to choose.
Yeah. Maybe Julian Green.
He's got to get a team that will let him play. I was impressed with that. Was his name Alvarado? Was that his name? The other center back for US? I thought he did a really good job. I was impressed with him. I had never seen him play before.
You know what? Maybe be trying to think of what his name is. Maybe Corona or Areola. They both played down for Tijuana.
Corona was the midfielder.
Yeah. Or even if move Gil up top.
Yeah, I mean, that could certainly be something.
So
maybe we could convince Klinsmann to put Bradley back where he's supposed to be, at the bottom of the midfield, and they could put Gil up at the point.
Yeah, but I guess the big news coming out of it for at least RSL fans was Beckerman hurting his thigh, if we want to call it that.
The thigh that has a hinge in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he tweeted out after the game that he was fine. I guess we'll have to see if that's really the case. I guess I kind of wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play on Saturday. Hopefully it's nothing serious like a, you know, ACL or MCL or something like that, because that would just be ridiculous.
Yeah, have a game where probably all three of your DPs can't go.
Yeah, so I guess let's move over to Vancouver then, and let's say, let's just play the game. What happens if Beckerman can't go? Mm-hmm. And let's also say that Jaime isn't going to play either.
Okay.
So who is our strikers?
If Jaime can't go, I still would want to play Gil up top.
Okay.
I think if you play Devin up there, him and Devin and Sabo play too similar. They're both like to hold the ball up, and you kind of need playmakers up there. Maybe if you're kind of crunched for the midfield, I would also consider Jordan Allen up top.
Okay.
So that'd probably be my two picks right there, is either leave Gill up there or run with Allen.
And then have Garcia as the other one?
Yep.
Okay, and then I think, okay, let's hear your midfield first, and then I'll go.
Okay, if we got Allen up top, I'm going to run with Luke, Javi, and Gill in the midfield. But if we play Gill up top, we're still going to run with Luke and Gill, but I'm probably leaning towards, and only because you convinced me off air, probably I'd like to see Justin in that holding position.
Justin Glad. Dun, dun, dun.
Told you we'd talk about him this episode.
That's right. It's a Justin Glad episode. Not only is this episode, you're going to say he's going to get his first MLS start, huh?
After watching him in that Real Monarchs game, you can tell he's got MLS talent. And you could tell that last year when he played, didn't he play in the Tijuana game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was called man of the match. And I'm trying to remember back to it, but he played awesome. And I remember after the game seeing interviews where different people, especially, I want to say it was Nat Borchers, was talking about how he might be even a better defender than any of the guys we had right then.
Yeah, I'm excited for his potential. Did you hear what he said after the game? How I think he's played 3 games at Rio Tinto, and all of them have been just downpours. Because he played the Tijuana game, it was a downpour, and this Colorado Springs game was a downpour, and then what was the other one? The Open Cup game, maybe?
I think it was the Open Cup.
Maybe it was that Atlanta game that was just crazy downpour. I think that was a downpour. Anyway, so maybe he won't be able to play on Saturday because it's supposed to be nice weather.
Yeah, I mean, and back then he was only 17, and I remember the entire coaching staff moving him all over that defensive line, and he'd step in and he'd still play at that high level that you needed him to play at. And so I'd like to see him maybe come up and start for this against Vancouver.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. My prediction for the lineup, if we're going to assume or play the game, if Jaime can't go and if Beckerman can't go, I think we'll play Garcia, Sabo, Gill. And then I bet we'll go Luke, Javi, and I bet they'll start Sturzer. Mm-hmm. Instead of Glad. Just since he's been the one who's kind of come in as a sub, not for Beckerman, but I guess then the question would be if they have Luke or Sturzer. I bet they have Sturzer play kind of the Beckerman role, I bet.
Yeah.
So that'd be my guess, but let's cross our fingers that Beckerman's okay.
And it'd just be another game where we're tested, because RSL put out a piece today about how they've already used 17 different players to start for RSL this team this year, and 19 different players have made appearances for the team. And so in 5 games, you've had 19 different players, and we still haven't taken a loss.
Yeah, it's amazing to our depth, but you don't want to have to keep counting on that, you know, if you don't have to.
Yeah.
So on the Vancouver side, they played a couple games last week. They had a midweek match a week ago today against Columbus in Vancouver. They drew 2-2. And then this past weekend they played at San Jose, if I recall, and they lost 1-0. San Jose's goal was really good. I don't know if you caught that highlight. They had, I think it was the third shot in the sequence actually went in, but it was a good goal. So Vancouver has started out the season really well. They've been a dangerous team, scoring a bunch. Who's there? Do you remember the name of their striker that has been just scoring all sorts of crazy goals?
Octavio Rivero.
Yes, Rivero.
So, he's got 5 of 9 goals.
He's got what?
5 of their 9 goals.
5 of their 9 goals. So he's obviously the danger man, someone we're going to have to keep an eye on. Their playmaker, Pedro Morales, he got a red card for kicking the ball into the junk of Adam John when he was lying on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So he will not be participating in the game against RSL. He was surprised when he was shown the card. But yeah, so that'll be good for us. I'm not sure who they'll have kind of step in. It sounds like Vancouver's got some players that have been hurt that be coming back into their squad, like Mauro Rosales. Yeah.
Yep. From the sounds of it, he should be back. They also have a new striker coming from Uruguay, Christian Tequera, I think his name is. And hopefully, they're hoping he, if the paperwork's done, he'll make an appearance in Salt Lake. So.
Yeah, I mean, if he does, it probably will be one of those he'd come on as a sub in the second half since he hasn't even met any of his teammates yet. I doubt that, you know, he would start or anything, but yeah, well, see, he'll give Plata, I guess, a run for his money on who's the tallest. He's supposedly 5'2 as well.
Yep.
So just adding height deficient people with him and Giovinco coming into the league with Plata, so.
Yep, you know the old saying, if you can't beat them, join them. So I guess they went and found their own Plata.
They wanted somebody to score headers like Plata can. So let's talk. What do you think the score will be for the game? Give me your prediction.
You know, looking over this, I'm looking over the results map, and even though they've started out the year with 4 wins, 2 losses, and a tie, their losses are against a Toronto team and a San Jose, and their tie is a Columbus team that's only got 1 win on the year and a couple of draws. And so I look at their wins, and their wins aren't exactly, other than that LA game, it's Portland, Orlando, in Chicago, so not exactly like the best of the best. And they also caught Chicago during that game losing streak that they started out the season just looking horrific. And so I'm going to say we win, but it's going to be like 2-1, 1-0, something like that. It's going to be close.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing we got to be wary of, and I mean, the thing we have going for us is we have Olave now, where, you know, he can maybe keep up with Darren Maddox. You know, they have some quick players on their team. And so, you know, my concern would be, you know, just to get caught out and, you know, kind of have a breakaway situation. But with Olave, I think that's probably less likely.
Yeah.
So I think them breaking us down in, you know, kind of just the normal run of play, them passing it around and breaking us down, I think that likelihood is not that great. So I'm going to go ahead and give us I'll do a 1-0, I think. It's going to be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know it's kind of going back to the kind of changing the subject, but something that you said that reminded me of it. With this 4-3, you're also noticing that a lot of teams can't bunker on us anymore. And so I think that's going to open it up to us seeing more, especially when Plata's back, a lot more offense from us, and also a lot more forcing other teams to have to compete against us. And so you'll see a lot more, I guess, active soccer coming from Rio Tinto Stadium.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see when Vancouver comes in on Saturday, what their defensive stance is, if they're going to be in a shell or if they're going to come to play. You know, last season when they came here, they had that crazy comeback and that ridiculous goal to tie it up near the end of the game from like 35 yards or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, it got them all cocky and about themselves. So it you know, we'll have to see, you know, what Carl Robinson decides to send his team out to do. I kind of wonder too, if now that we're not in the diamond and we're not so focused on possession, if that helps people not be in a shell when they have the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep. So.
It's hard for teams to stay back in bunker when they have the ball, because your natural tendency is to, you know, if you have the ball, you want to go attack.
Yeah, you want to get up there and play.
But if you attack, then that leaves you open when the ball comes back the other way. So as the season goes on and people come into Rio Tinto, we'll have to see how they all decide to play against us. I'm sure, at least for the first little bit, they'll just do what they've always done, which is most teams will bunker, I would guess.
Mm-hmm.
So any other thoughts?
I think we pretty much covered it all, man. I mean, let's all hope that we get to see some Justin Glad this week.
That's right.
You know, part of me thinks Beckerman's going to be there, but we'll see.
You know, even if he's okay because he played midweek, I mean, it's not the end of the world if they give him a break.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if this entire coaching staff is more, you've seen the Schuler could have gone this week, but they left him home because they wanted him to be healthy. And I think this team is, especially this coaching staff, is realizing over last year that they need these guys all year long, and guys are going to be gone. So you need these guys as healthy as possible. So I think they're going to start giving these guys breaks every chance they can get.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think we want to take the Greg Popovich school of thought where, you know, if you have players that need a break, give it to them. I mean, the season is crazy long, so it might as well. I mean, that's why you have, you know, 20-something players on your team, right? So I don't think we want to go the Jose Mourinho route and play the same 11 players for 9 months.
Yeah. Yeah, well, especially if it's prime time, we'll go Pop's version and shut it down.
That's right. Save yourself for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So. Well, it should be a fun one this weekend. Did it snow down where you are?
It did not. I was actually out coaching soccer today.
What? Are you kidding me? I don't know, probably almost a foot of snow on my lawn right now.
See, if they would have played the United States game here, could have forced them to play in snow.
It would have been awesome. Crazy. It has snowed all day long. And, you know, a couple days ago, it was 70s. And then today, snow. Saturday, back to the 70s. It's great, great April weather.
Yeah, Utah weather, man. Utah.
It's been awesome. Good for snowballs. Well, for those of you listening, we're glad you could join us. And thanks as always. If you guys have any questions, you can get at me on Twitter at @frisbee_rich.
And then, man, I'm all Twitter. You got A24 Brett. You also got touchline_TBS. And even if you just throw something out to Torn by Sports, they'll get it to us.
Yeah, and we'd love to hear from any of you guys, any questions or comments, or if you agree or disagree with anything we have to say, tell us that we're crazy. That'd be great. So thanks for listening. I'm Rich.
And I'm Brett.
And have a good evening.